Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is the NBC Newsroom in New York. Monday, February 17th, and here is the news in Europe on this, the 537th day of war. First this morning, our correspondent reporting from Germany. Go ahead, Berlin.
Hello, NBC. This is Theodore Knauss speaking from Berlin. Union now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we regret that we are unable to bring you the report from Berlin at this time due to the very inferior signal this morning across the Atlantic. In just a moment, however, we shall hear from Earl Godwin, reporting in Washington. Meantime, via the Associated Press, we have these bulletins. Rome. Authorities announced today that German and Italian economic experts had agreed on an exchange of raw materials and technical experience in their industries, and cooperation after the war as well as during it. And now we'll hear the news on Capitol Hill, reported by Earl Godwin from our newsroom in Washington.
Good morning, folks. Labor Department officials will tell you, if you ask them, that strikes in defense industries are a small episode in proportion to the general picture, that the production of defense is tremendous and that strikes are sort of merely a pinprick on the wall or in the picture. But strikes and settlements of strikes occupy fairly prominent portion of the news as it is reported in and from Washington this morning. One settlement, which must have caused Messrs. Knutson and Hillman of the Office of Production Management to draw really a sigh of relief all through this weekend, is that labor peace at Milwaukee, where the Alice Chalmers employees, numbering 9,000 men, have been on strike for 25 days. A settlement was announced here on that Saturday night, and I reported it late, but the union members out there will be asked to ratify this truce and thus put 9,000 men back to work on $45 million worth of defense orders. As I understand it, the plants can reopen almost immediately, but some of the disputed questions will have to be settled by mediation. At any rate, the news is that the Alice Chalmers boys go back to work. Also, good news to Knutson and Hillman was word that the CIO workers had voted to end the strike Saturday at the Youngstown Sheet and Tube Company's Briar Hill plant in Ohio. But less heartening to the Office of Production Management and to the defense boys generally is some certain other news. The International Harvester Company strike is spreading to more plants where defense orders run into millions. Also, strikes continue at Carteret, New Jersey, and Bridgeville, Pennsylvania, where, by the way, the CIO regional director says that strike is illegal, although the strikers still strike. Well, that brings me down to the announcement that the investigation of defense labor problems on Capitol Hill will be underway about 10 o'clock this morning, where hearings are being staged by the House Judiciary Committee. There are several bills on the subject of strikes, unions, labor fees, and so forth, are before the House Judiciary Committee, and Chairman Hatton Sumners wants to make a clean sweep and get the whole thing all done at once so that he can inform the House. Hatton's group, the Judiciary Committee, will make a thorough study of the defense industry and labor as related to defense industry. Sumners is also authority for the statement that his committee will inquire into charges that have been made that unions are levying exorbitant fees on new workers in defense plants having closed shops. And Harry Hopkins comes home, and my guess is that Harry Hopkins has given and will give the president the most sympathetic and understandable information the president has yet received. And I hasten to say that this is because of the personalities of the two men. And Harry Hopkins' visit may have a deeper effect upon the course of the immediate events and maybe on the course of history than any other one man's work at this juncture. The reason is that Hopkins and the president think very much alike, and they're looking forward to the kind of world and the kind of England and the kind of America that we may have, could have, after the present war subsides. And the stuff and the things that Hopkins sees and reports might be overlooked by someone else. You understand how that could be? Meantime, Wendell Willkie, who, by the way, delivers an off-the-record address to the members of the National Press Club at lunchtime today, soon may be out on the go again. He's hinted in Washington that he's considering a trip to China, something like the one he made to England, and no sooner had this announcement been made than word came from Canada that people up there intend to ask him to make a speaking tour of Western China, Western Canada. And that ends this particular episode of 5 Minutes. I return you now to the NBC in New York. That's all the news from Washington at this time.
We've heard our report on Capitol Hill this morning. And now to continue, we take you again to Europe, where our news staff in Great Britain reports late news from the island fortress. Go ahead, London.
This is John McVane in London. London had another quiet night last night. Early in the evening, a few raiders came over the East Coast. One dropped a bomb on a Northeast Coast town. Today's communique says a few houses were damaged and there were a small number of casualties. Bombs also fell in East Anglia, but are reported to have landed in open country and caused no harm of any kind. As yet, we have no information of any British bombing raids last night. The British press today is featuring reports from Belgrade of the territorial concessions Germany is reported to have offered Yugoslavia as a bribe to get her to stand by quietly while Germany enters Bulgaria and attacks Greece. The reported territories include Scutari in Albania and a corridor to the Aegean at Salonika to be given to Yugoslavia in return for territorial concessions by Yugoslavia to Hungary and Bulgaria. Responsible Yugoslavian circles in London doubt that Yugoslavia will accept such terms and draw attention to the emphasis placed by Prince Paul, the Yugoslavian regent, on his country's integrity and independence. It is pointed out that Yugoslavia neither needs nor wants a corridor to the Aegean. At present, by arrangement with Greece, Yugoslavia has a free port at Salonika through which she can bring any type of import she likes without interference from the Greeks. Observers here who know Yugoslavia well don't believe that Yugoslavia will yield to the Axis demands, even though the possibility does exist that the country may make economic concessions to Germany if it seems possible that immediate war can be delayed by so doing. The Yugoslavian people are strongly anti-German, and if the government attempted to go too far in the matter of concessions to the Germans, the people might repudiate the government's decision. There is no exact information here on what the Yugoslav cabinet has decided, but some observers still believe that Yugoslavia might fight if Germany attacks Greece. British military experts today are calling Salonika the key point of the Balkan Riddle. They say that if the Germans can get there, carefully skirting Thrace so as to keep Turkey out of the war, they would endanger the Greek army, isolate Yugoslavia, give Italy time to breathe, and create a new problem for Britain. The usually well-informed military correspondent of the Yorkshire Post points out that Hitler is going ahead with his preparations to invade England, while at the same time he is carrying on a Mediterranean campaign so complex and diverse that it's sufficient to engage all his forces without any other distraction. It's thought here that the Germans, who have always favored doing one thing at a time, intended to make the invasion of Britain their sole objective this year, until they were forced to weaken their invasion potential by undertaking a Balkan campaign, in which important, and as some think decisive, campaigns may have to be fought. The Germans have stirred Japan to action in the Far East, it is thought, in order to try to shake the confidence of the American people, just at the time when final votes in the Lease-Land Bill can be affected by skillful propaganda. The Germans are believed to be hoping a large minority vote will be cast against the bill. If this were to happen, the British believe, the German propagandists and fifth columnists in America would be given orders to work on that minority to obstruct supplies for Britain. The London News Chronicle today publishes a dispatch from its usually well-informed Lisbon correspondent indicating that the Axis is going to try a new peace offensive. This is reported to have been decided at the conference between Mussolini and Franco, which Hitler is said to have secretly attended. According to the report, Germany and Italy will issue an ultimatum to Britain insisting on a conference to discuss Axis peace terms. They will propose it be held under the presidency of Franco or the head of another neutral state. The Axis will threaten an overwhelming offensive if the offer is refused. Franco's job will be to persuade Britain to agree to such a conference. There is no confirmation of this report in London, but such offers have been made before, and it's thought likely they'll be made again. The purpose behind such an offer, it's thought, would be to gain time for Italy to attempt some military readjustment and to influence American voting on the leased land bill. It's pointed out that similar offers in the past were usually the beginning of new Axis aggression. Hitler's presence at the Franco-Mussolini meeting is not confirmed in London. This is John McVane in London, returning you to the National Broadcasting Company in New York.
This is New York, where we have two more dispatches from the Associated Press, one Vichy. René Bellin, Minister of Labor in the French cabinet, was reported today to have resigned. This was expected to complete the current series of cabinet changes unless other adjustments are made to bring former Vice Premier Pierre Laval back to the government. Rome. Fascist authorities declared today an announcement in an Italian newspaper Saturday that freight service had been suspended in some parts of the southern Italy section and that this report was false. The newspaper was required to correct its story. The reported restriction of service was said to have affected lines in the district where the Italians announced capturing British parachute soldiers last week. Authorities said today that instead of restricting freight service, they had removed some previous restrictions. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the news at home and abroad for now. Listen to the many scheduled newscasts this station broadcasts and be abreast of late developments.
Here's a brief spot with Irving Millen, the NBC dance band, and they're playing for us now, "You Didn't Steal That Kiss." Been bringing you a song by Irving Millen, the NBC Dance Orchestra. This is the National Broadcasting Company.